about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening. We invite you to look with us in the book, in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Again, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verses 5 through 11, Philippians chapter 2. Then briefly looking in the book of James, the epistle of James chapter 4, verse 6 simply tells us, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7 as well, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verses 6 and 7, James chapter 4. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to be believers who follow you in humility and grace, Lord. And thank you for the fact that by your Spirit you've enabled us to walk just such a way. Thank you for the privilege of being able to humbly walk with you day by day. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. And help us to grow in our humility and our ability to simply listen to you, obey you, and follow you. Follow your word and your Spirit each and every day, faithfully and diligently. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. Once again, we want to remind you that we do have our Share-a-thon coming up just a few days away. We'll be getting underway next week, and we're still looking for listener testimonies. If you haven't called in yet, please take time between now and next week. Call in and share a testimony. Share with us how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That number to call is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. If the Lord has used Urban to encourage you to be a better, more faithful Christian man, Christian woman, Christian dad, Christian mom, Christian husband, Christian wife, however God has used it, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. I'd like to continue to remind you, we want to encourage you to take time to go to our Facebook page. Again, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Please go to the pages and like them if you would, please. Also, we want to invite you to urbanfamilytalk.com. Go there and subscribe on our website. We'd appreciate you doing that as well. And then finally, then want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for both your iPhone and Android devices. Just go to your app store and search Urban Family Talk, and you can download the apps. And that way you can take Urban with you anywhere you may go. We're sharing from the book of Philippians chapter 2 and then James chapter 4. And today we're looking specifically at the topic of the Christian walk, a journey in humility. It's a topic we've dealt with before, but from a different perspective. And keep in mind, humility is such an important part of our walk with God as believers. No matter who you are, what you are, it's important to understand humility is a huge part of walking with God. The Word of God says in James chapter 4, as we read a few moments ago, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, again, it's very helpful and very important that I help you understand an accurate definition of humility, because most people don't really know what real humility is. Remember, it's not walking around with your head down and acting like everybody's better than you. That's not necessarily humility at all. Genuine humility is submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. Genuine humility is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. The only person that walked in perfect humility all their life was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a very humble man. In fact, he was described as being the meekest man on the earth in his day. But the fact is, keep this in mind, all sin is pride. All sin is pride in one form or another. And pride is one of those tricky things that sometimes we think we understand it, but in reality, by and large, we don't. We really need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help us understand it. But the fact is, every believer needs a lot of God's grace to deal with pride. Every single believer in all the world. And if you ever run into a believer that says, oh, I've got that problem, lick, they've got a bad problem with pride. Because the reality is, we need God's grace heavily every day. The Spirit of God to help us walk in the humility of God. Because without God's help, we just aren't going to manage to do that at all. You know, it's been said that pride is the only disease in the world that makes everybody sick, but the person that has it, sad, sad. We need to understand we all need to trust God and look to the Spirit of God to help us walk in the humility of God. So as we look at the topic again, our focus today is the Christian walk, a journey in humility. We're going to look at some Bible examples, but also keep in mind very simply, as I said, humility is submission to the Word of God, complete submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we all really have to trust God to help us to do that every single day. Remember, keep in mind that humility, for example, in the area of prayer, you know, the scripture that I typically quote at the beginning of every broadcast tells us, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, keep in mind, a life of humility will typically be a prayer-filled life. The more you give yourself to prayer, the more you're able to walk in humility. On the other hand, a prayerless life is a prideful life. Now, some might argue, well, no, the reason I don't pray is because I'm busy. I don't have a lot to do, but I'm really a humble person. That might be what the person might think. But let me say again very clearly, a prayerless life is a pride-filled life. Typically, when a person doesn't see prayer as being that important, their actions are basically stating, God, I can handle this on my own. I really don't need your help. Now, that would be a foolish person to say that, but the reality is if we live a prayerless life, our life is making that statement to God, God, I can handle this. On the other hand, if we're wise enough to be prayerful about everything, then that's an act of humility. So genuine humility will encourage us to live a prayer-filled life, praying about big things, little things, and all the in-between things. It helps us recognize we're dependent. We're dependent on the Spirit of God and the Word of God every single day. So humility helps us to be wise enough to recognize, God, I need a lot of help today. I need a lot of grace. I need a lot of wisdom. I need a lot of mercy today. And we look to God and we cry out for it. But again, pride is pretty silent when it comes to prayer much of the time, because pride says, I got this. And the reality is, no, we don't. None of us do. We all need lots and lots of grace every day. So humility, walking in humility will encourage us to live a prayer-filled life. But also, humility will encourage us to be diligent students of God's Word. On the other hand, pride will basically give us the attitude or will allow us to walk with the attitude of, well, reading my Bible is not really that important. I'm a smart person. I'm intelligent. I know a lot. I read my Bible last week, last month. I know truth myself, so I'm okay. I'm okay. What a foolish way to live. The reality is we need the truth of God's Word every single day, and we need to drink it in by the gallons. As opposed to sipping on the bottle of God's Word, we need it by the gallon. So if we're wise, humility will encourage us to be faithful, diligent students of God's Word. Pride will basically let you know, it's not that big a deal. I'll get around to it if and when I get around to it. So a life of a believer that doesn't study the Word of God is a pride-filled life. Now, again, you may think, well, I don't think it's that. It's just I'm busy. No, it's pride. Remember, all sin is pride in one form or another. And pride can be so tricky, so much so that remember, pride is what got the devil in trouble, and he got kicked out of heaven. The reality is you have to be careful of pride. Everybody does. Every believer does. Also, humility will encourage us to be believers that are not only reading and studying the word, but we're walking in obedience. On the other hand, disobedience is pride. Disobedience is basically making the statement to God, God, I know what to do. I really want to do things my way. I'm not really concerned about doing it yours. Now, you might say, I would never tell God that. You don't have to say it with your mouth. Your actions will tell God. Your actions make statements to God every single day. And often our statements through our actions tell God, God, I know what to do. I do not need your wisdom. I don't need your counsel. I know what to do. So in spite of the fact that you may think you would never say that, let that, you know, those words come across your lips, that's okay. Your life speaks to God every single day. And many times our life is a life filled with pride because we're doing our own thing and not bothering with looking to the Word of God for guidance as to how to do God's thing. So one that doesn't read and study the Word of God, but has the opportunity to do so, again, that's an action of pride. A life full of praise and thanksgiving. The Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A thankful heart is a humble heart. On the other hand, a thankless individual, someone that praises and thanks God very little, again, it's pride. It's pride because it's almost as if our life is saying, well, God, you were supposed to bless me. I expect to be blessed, as opposed to recognize that life is a gift from God. We don't deserve any blessing we receive today, but God in his mercy and in his grace poured out his blessings upon us in great abundance. And a humble heart will be full of thanksgiving and praise. But again, a prideful heart really doesn't have much thanks and praise to give. Don't be a pride-filled person. Again, the word says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Don't you want all the grace you can get? Walk in the humility of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you walk in God's humility every day and understand what it genuinely is. Again, humility is not a matter of looking humble, whatever that means. Humility is submitting to the Word and the Spirit of God. So remember, the world's definitions often just don't really mean a whole lot. So don't take your definition of humility from what people think or feel in the world. Look to the Word of God. Again, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So as we're looking in the Word of God, I want you to keep in mind that the best example of humility is that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're to ask God to help us to walk with the same mind of Christ. Because remember, by the grace of God, we do have the mind of Christ, but we're to submit to the Word and the Spirit of God. Verse 6 goes on to say, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now keep in mind, if God humbles himself, how much more should we humble ourselves? Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So keep in mind, our best example of walking in genuine humility is the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity for us to walk in humility, your humility every day. Anoint us afresh today with the spirit of humility and help us to walk in it more and more with every passing day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, The Christian Walk, A Journey in Humility. We'll be right back.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
My best friend Donnie Shell was named to the Pro Bowl 5 times and won 4 Super Bowls during his NFL career. But the first thing I noticed about him was not his athletic ability, it was his Christian lifestyle. You can see his relationship with Christ in his manner, talk, the way he treats people, and the decisions he makes in his family life and in his business. How about us? When it comes to telling others about Jesus, we should follow Donnie's lead. Always ready to share what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Don't worry about knowing all the scripture verses or about teaching the Bible to someone. Just share your story.
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Urban Family Talk, equipping you with God's truth.
Daphne from Pontotoc, Mississippi. How has 91.7 impacted my life? I have always listened to Tony Evans and began my spiritual growth there, and then started listening to the Addisons. You all have kept me current, up to date on what's happening in the world. Your word is God-sent, encouraging, and enlightening. Most of all, you stand on the word of God, unwavered by the things of this world. And it reminds me of the unity in Christ to hear you speak and the callers who call in. And I know that I'm not alone. Before I knew Christ, I was a mess. I no longer look for happiness in other people, but find joy in the Lord. I have practiced abstinence for 5 years, and I'm waiting for the one God has for me.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our 3-day Share-a-thon starting April 4th. Listener-supported Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth.
Storms keep on raging in my life. place he has prepared.
The music of Douglas Miller, the song My Soul Has Been Anchored. Praise God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. Let me remind you once again, we're looking at the topic today, the Christian walk, a journey in humility. And let me say this very clearly to every believer listening. If you grasp that the Christian walk is a walk of humility, it's a huge encouragement to you. Because again, on the other hand, it's important to understand this. Pride will get you in trouble 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if you allow it. And pride is very tricky. All sin is a form of pride. On the other hand, as we learn to humble ourselves before God, it helps us to stay close to the Lord as well. I'm reminded of a scripture found in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And I want you to really listen to this because, you know, it's interesting to think that, for example, simple definitions from the Word of God help open our eyes and our understanding of so many things. And again, humility is, it's a small topic, but at the same time, it's a huge topic as well. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Now listen to that again. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly?" Now, justice has to do with living a life of justice and fairness towards others. It has to do with how you interact with other people with a sense of fairness and justice towards them. To do justly, to love mercy, to be someone who's quick to reach out to persons in need. But then the last phrase is a powerful one, and to walk humbly with your God. Not just from time to time be humble, but live a life full of humility, to walk humbly with your God. What is humility? It's submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's to walk in the love of God. That means, like, for example, whether we understand this or not, if I walk in an unloving way towards other people, I'm dishonoring God, and it's pride. If I'm rude to other people, that's pride. If I'm unkind to other people, that's pride. And it's resisting the Spirit of God at work in us. On the other hand, when I choose by the grace of God to walk in the love of God, the patience towards other, the patience of God, when I walk in that, it's walking in humility. Remember, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God wants us to walk in humility every single day. Humility allows the Spirit of God to work in us and through us, to work through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. We reflect the presence of Jesus more and more as we walk in the humility of God. God doesn't want you to walk in humility from time to time. He wants you to walk in humility every single day and by the power of the Holy Spirit, moment by moment. Also, you may recall the story of when Saul was first converted. After he fell from his horse on the road to Damascus, the blinding light hit him and he fell from his horse. His first question was, "Who are you, Lord?" And then his second question, though, was, "What would you have me to do? Or what do you want me to do?" Now, whether Paul understood it or not, that's a very humble question and a humble prayer. And that's a wise prayer for us to pray every day. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" You know, on the other hand, if we as believers never in our prayer life ask God, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Again, that's pride creeping in. Because there are many believers that they don't ever ask God, what does he want them to do? For many of us, even in our prayer life, whether we realize it or not, we can be prideful. "God, let me tell you what I want you to do for me today. I want you to bless this and this and this and that and that and that," and never ask God, what does he want us to do? Remember, whether we understand it or not, we belong to God. All we have belongs to God. It's all his. And so if we're wise, we'll be like Paul and ask that question every single day. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Because our life belongs to the Lord. We're called to walk in humility. So we're to walk in humility in the air of obedience as well, simply doing what God wants us to do. Part of walking in humility is living life filled with thanksgiving and praise because we recognize God runs our cups over every single day. And when we're bitter and in bad moods and discouraged, always down, well, again, many times it's because our thinking is wrong. Life is a gift. rather than me being upset that I don't have a certain thing, I need to thank God for what I do have, because God is not obligated to do anything for me per se. So humility will cause me, move upon me to be thankful and full of praise and thanksgiving. Also, humility encourages me to live a life of faith and trust, a life of faith and trusting God no matter what's going on. I want you to look with me in the book of Genesis, a very familiar story, but a powerful story found in Genesis starting in chapter 37. Story about the life of a man by the name of Joseph, a young man who at the age of 17, as it turns out, he was his father's favorite son. And to be quite honest, it appears he was a little bit what you might call spoiled and prideful. He was already his father's favorite son, and his father did something that really was probably a pretty big mistake. He gave his son a coat, and the coat was a coat of many colors. And basically the coat, really, whether the father fully comprehended this or not, made a statement to his other brothers that this is the most highly valued son of all my sons. Well, as one would expect, his brothers became jealous. And they came to the place where they not only disliked their brother, they came to hate their own brother by the name of Joseph. Well, one day, Joseph had a dream. And in his dream, in essence, the dream let his brothers know that one day they would bow down to him. And they already didn't like Joseph. In fact, they hated Joseph, and it made them dislike him even more because of the dream. Because all of them thought there might have been something to that dream. And then he had another dream, which in essence said the same thing, but this time it included not only his brothers, but his dad and mom as well. And even his dad was a little bit put off by the dream as well, and stated to that effect as well. Well, in essence, Joseph's brothers came to hate him. And one of the things you do find in this story is that Jacob, again, remember, God uses Jacob, basically, he's one of the patriarchs of the family that God uses to help bring salvation to the whole world. Yet you see, even in this family, a need for a lot of grace. Because if ever there was a dysfunctional family in the Bible, this was one of them, a major one. Again, several of the brothers came to hate their younger brother. So they came to hate him so much so that one day when his father Jacob sent Joseph out to find his brothers to check up on them, they saw him in the distance. And when they saw him, their immediate response is, look here, the dreamer is coming. Listen to what they decided they wanted to do. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and throw him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, notice that last sentence. It's a huge sentence in this whole powerful story. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Again, what a tragedy that there was so much dysfunction, so much trouble in this family, that these brothers hated their brother to the point where they decided, let's kill him and hide him. And part of their goal was, let's destroy his dreams. We don't want him ruling over us. Let's kill his dreams. But keep in mind, when a dream comes from God, men cannot kill it. And of course, as you know the story, they catch Joseph, take his coat from him, they throw him in a pit. And then before long, here come some Midianite traders, some Ishmaelites, and the brothers decide, hey, let's not kill our brother. Hey, he is our brother. Let's not kill him. Let's just sell him off into slavery. They pull him out of the pit and sell their brother off into slavery in another land. Again, dysfunction on top of dysfunction. Again, the brother's conclusion, hey, he is our brother. Let's not kill him. Let's just sell him off as a slave in a foreign land. And they do that. And then on top of that, they make up a big lie. They get their brother's coat, dip it in blood, and come back and let their father conclude that he's been killed by a wild animal. And apparently for years, keep that lie going in their family. Well, again, Joseph does end up in Egypt. But keep in mind, one of the things that you come to find out as you read the story is that Joseph was a man that trusted his God. Even though he'd gone through a pretty terrible experience of being caught by his own brothers and sold into slavery, if you can imagine the mental torture that was, thinking to himself, his own brothers sold him off as a slave, And if you can imagine what must have been going through his mind, again, you know, that kind of pressure, some folks lose their minds over things like that. And now keep in mind, one of the beautiful things you find about Joseph is that Joseph trusted God, and also you find that he was forgiving as well. Well, of course, the story goes on to tell of how that he's sold as a slave into the household of the captain of the Pharaoh's guard by the name of Potiphar. But Joseph has great grace upon him. He's a person with great favor upon him. And soon Potiphar promoted him to being one of the head servants in his home. And Joseph is doing a good job at what he did, so much so that Potiphar basically put him in charge of overseeing the responsibilities of his home. But sadly, Potiphar's wife began to approach Joseph and tried to seduce him and to lead him into sexual sin with her. And so Joseph, of course, in his humility, was trusting God, but also recognized that he could let Pharaoh's Potiphar's wife know this. He would never sin against God by getting involved with her sexually either. Remember, Joseph, by the grace of God, is walking in great humility. He's trusting God even in tough times. And remember, one of the big questions of the whole story of Jacob and his son Joseph is the question that God really has before Joseph in his life is, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And you know, many times when we're going through trials and difficulties and storms in our life, that's the question to ask ourselves. Do I still trust God? Am I walking in humility to the point where I'm going to trust God no matter what's going on? And, you know, we all like to see storms coming. If storms are going to come, we like for them to be over fast. But, you know, some storms last more than a few hours. Some storms last for a day or two in life. And some storms in life sometimes last for months, and some storms may last for years. But the reality is we must grow to the point as believers to be able to say to God, God, I trust you even when I don't understand what you're doing. I trust you, Lord, even when it's dark outside and I can't see where I'm going. I trust you no matter what. Joseph was humble enough to keep trusting God no matter what was going on. He didn't understand why God had allowed him to go through all this, why he allowed his brothers to hate him so and to do such a thing. He didn't know what was going on, but he trusted God and kept on serving him even in tough times. Well, of course, Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife, but she got him in trouble. He ended up being thrown into prison. Now, again, some of the things Joseph went through, as I said, for some people, they would have lost their mind with all this, because so many times in life when people go through difficulty, we tend to, too often, we blame God when, of course, the devil is behind these kinds of trials. We blame God, and sometimes people will just want to turn their back on God. But remember, that's the worst thing you can do. Turn your back on God. No, God's where your help is going to come from. So you keep trusting him no matter what. Because remember this, God is always doing something behind the scenes. God is always at work. God always knows what he's doing. So God can be trusted. In our humility, we must learn to trust God even when it's tough. Trust God even when it's difficult. Well, here Joseph is. He's in prison. And again, he came there as a slave and started to be promoted. And then through problems that came that were not his fault, he got thrown into prison. But he kept trusting God. He kept trusting God. Well, the story goes on to explain that there were two prisoners in prison, both of whom had strange dreams. And Joseph, by the grace of God, was able to interpret them for them. And one of them, of course, was going to be promoted once again to work in the Pharaoh's court. And sure enough, Joseph's interpretations were correct. But one of them, the baker, when Joseph interpreted his dream, he told him, when you get up there, remember me. And we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. all other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacy on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
We're supposed to have love for the world, not love of the world. Dr. Tony Evans says the difference can be hard to understand, but he'll clear it up for us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It is Satan's job to get you to not merely be in the world, but to fall in love with it. Jesus made it plain in John 17, Father, don't take them out of the world. God has not called you to some monastery somewhere where you are avoiding the world. No, he expects you to live in the world without loving it. You love the world not merely in your affections, but also in your decisions. When you choose to put God over on the sideline so you can enjoy the world, you have now loved it. Loving the world is like a bride loving the ring more than the bridegroom. I see some of y'all can relate to that. It's loving the flash of the ring and forgetting the person who gave it. In James 4:4, he says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. So not only do you lose the experience of God's reality, you now join Satan in becoming God's adversary, even though you're God's child. Friendship with the world puts you at enmity, in conflict with God. So not only are we not experiencing God, we're in perpetual battle with God if you love the world.
Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org, along with hundreds of books, videos, digital downloads, and more. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're looking today at the topic of the Christian walk, a journey in humility. And remember this, for every believer, we're all called to walk in the humility of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. We need God's grace. We need his help. We need his strength. And remember, the Holy Spirit's the one that helps us. Our job is to obey the Word of God and the Spirit of God and submit to him, because God will help us. But we've got to decide, because remember this, God doesn't make us do anything. But we do have to choose to walk in the humility of the Lord. Now, just a question I'm going to try to deal with right quick here from in the Cherubim. It asks, why is humility not dealt with more in the body of Christ? And, you know, that's a good question, because the reality is humility is a huge truth and a topic to look at that can be so helpful when we comprehend it. Again, remember, all sin is pride in one form or another. And the fact is we get ourselves in trouble by, again, basically walking it out. On the other hand, we learn to submit ourselves to God and the Spirit of God and walk in the humility of God. It helps us tremendously in so, so many ways. Just like, for example, it's so important for all of us to be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. And for a believer that says, well, I don't witness because I'm shy or that's just not me, that's not my personality. Do you see how that's your pride coming through? In other words, am I going to tell God, God, no, I'm not going to witness because I feel a little bit too shy? It's as if our will can override whatever God wants. On the other hand, humility is, God, even though this is hard for me, since you want me to do it, I belong to you, so I'm going to do it. That's humility. Even if it doesn't seem like it, it is, because humility, remember, is submission to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So when God is calling us or leading us to do something, we decide we don't want to do it. Again, that's pride, because it's like, it's as if we're telling God, God, no, I want to do my thing. I don't want to do yours. Again, it's pride, pride, pride. On the other hand, humility says, God, it's hard, but because you want me to do it, and I love you and I'm committed to you, I'm going to do it. And do you know the Holy Spirit will help you to do it, whatever it might be? He'll meet you there and empower you to do it. So the word says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's so, so important. Again, understanding, reading a little further, it says, understanding the power of humility is vital to our walk as believers. That's very, very true. Thanks for sharing that, Cavell. I appreciate that truth. It's so important to understand. Humility, again, is huge in our understanding of the need for us to walk that way and how to walk with God in humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word guides and teaches us to walk in humility. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us to walk in humility throughout your word. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace and humility so that we would walk in that humility every single day and walk it out through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do as well. And Father, help us today to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, just a reminder to each of you, pray for God to bless your prayer life, because remember, one of the greatest instruments to help you walk in humility before the Lord is your prayer life. It's a great instrument. It's a great weapon that'll help you to walk in that humility every single day. Living a prayer-filled life is one of the greatest ways whereby we can live our life of genuine humility that honors and glorifies the Lord. Well, continuing the story of Joseph, again, keep in mind, he was imprisoned unlawfully. He interpreted the dream, and he asked one of his fellow prisoners when he was elevated back to his position in Pharaoh's court to remember him. Well, the man gets back in his position, again, as Joseph shared in terms of the meaning of his dream. But he forgot about Joseph for the time being, and Joseph was in prison 2 more years. But after 2 years, the Pharaoh has some very strange and troubling dreams, and he calls out for his soothsayers to interpret them. None of them knew what his dreams meant. But then the butler, who had been the one who Joseph had interpreted his dream when he was jailed, he said, "Today I remember my faults. I remember when I was in jail, Pharaoh. There was a young man who could interpret dreams." And so Pharaoh quickly has Joseph brought out from the prison. He has him cleaned up, shaved, and brought before the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh shares his dreams, and Joseph quickly interprets the dreams and lets him know that God is warning him of coming famine, that Egypt would have 7 years of blessing and blessed crops and then 7 years of famine. And he lets Pharaoh know, Pharaoh, God would have you to prepare the land and prepare for this upcoming blessing time and upcoming time of drought as well. And after Pharaoh hears the interpretation, he thinks to himself, "Is there a wiser man in all of Egypt than you? I'm going to make you my prime minister. I'm going to make you second in command. And you're going to help prepare the land for this upcoming time of blessing and time of drought as well." So in one day, God takes Joseph from the dungeon to being prime minister of the nation of Egypt. Only God can do that kind of thing. And only God does those kinds of things. But God does it in his power, in his sovereignty, and in his grace for his own purposes. So once Joseph becomes prime minister of the nation of Egypt, remember, all this time, Joseph has continued to trust God. Now, he was probably very much perplexed, but once he becomes prime minister, he begins to really understand where God and how God was taking him, where he was taking him. Joseph came to realize that God placed him there to be a blessing to the land. And Joseph did his job and did it well, prepared the land during the 7 years of blessing. And when the famine hit, again, Egypt was prepared. And many other nations were not, and so people came from far and wide to Egypt to get help during the time of drought. And who would come amongst the people in need? His own brothers come as well. His brothers come looking for grain, but they don't recognize their brother Joseph. And Joseph quickly recognizes them. And just for time reasons, we're going to abbreviate here, but Joseph takes them through a series of events, basically testing them to see if they've grown and learned anything beyond the years where they were so cruel to him. And by the grace of God, he saw that God had dealt with them and God had humbled them as well. And so after he takes them through these series of events, now let me say this too. This is why you need to read your Bible, because these are some powerful and wonderful stories. And reading the Word of God helps you better understand. And keep in mind, the story of Joseph is one of the most powerful stories in the history of the whole wide world, found right here in the Word of God. And if you read it, you'll see so many truths and insights about life in general, about your life. Now, not saying your family is necessarily going through the struggles Joseph's family did, but probably some of them. But the reality is you should go back and read the whole story. It's a powerful and a wonderful story about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the sovereignty and the power of God, all through the story of this family. Well, at a certain point in time, after Joseph takes them through a series of events, kind of testing them out, he reveals to his brothers and he tells them, "I am Joseph. Does my father live?" Now, initially, the brothers, they're so stunned they can't say a thing, because they're probably thinking to themselves, "Uh-oh, we're in big trouble." And at some point they realize, you know, we didn't kill Joseph's dreams. Joseph's dreams came true, and he's living it right now, and we're in big trouble because of what we did. But by the grace of God, remember, Joseph is walking in humility before God. In his humility, he recognized what the hand of God was doing all the time. He forgave his brothers for what they had done. And in their fear, they were concerned, and they were wondering what Joseph was going to do. But Joseph let them know, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." In other words, we serve a God that's so big that he can take the most messed up situation, the most messed up family, and bring wonderful things out of it by his powerful hand. We serve a big God. So remember, in humility, always trust God. Know that God can be trusted. Even in the dark times, God can be trusted. Even when you don't know what his hand is doing, God can be trusted. Even when you go through detours and difficult situations when you want to say, "God, why did this have to happen? Lord, why didn't I get this opportunity? Why did this door close? Why did I have to go through this storm?" You can still trust God, because God is always, always doing something, whether we understand what he's doing or not. But the key is walk in humility before God. Trust him and keep doing what you know he's told you to do. So living a prayer-filled life is always going to help you. Living a life where you continually study the Word of God, all of these are acts of humility, because they're acts of submission before God. The Word of God tells us, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be a diligent student of God's Word. I often like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Why is that important? Because reading the Word daily helps you to walk in humility. This is a spiritual discipline that actually helps you walk in humility before the Lord every single day. Yet if you're one who you miss many, many days from reading your Bible here and there, again, that's pride. Now, and you can say all day long, "No, it's not pride, I'm just busy." No, it's pride. Because basically you're telling God, "God, it's not important enough to me to make it a priority to do it every day. I do it when I get around to it." Because remember this, many of the things we do in life, we don't have to say it with our mouths. Our lives speak to God every day. If you don't hardly pray, your lack of prayer is making a big statement to God. God, I got this. I really don't need you that much. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, that too makes a statement to God. God, I'm smart by myself. I'm pretty wise on my own. I really don't need your counsel or your wisdom that much. If I walk in unforgiveness, God, I'm that person hurt me so bad, and I'm such a valuable person that they shouldn't get away with being able to hurt me, so I'm going to hold a grudge. Well, that's spiritually dangerous, because remember this, unforgiveness can be like poison or like acid in your life. And remember, acid is one of those substances that can do more damage to the vessel in which it's stored than whatever it is you pour it on. And unforgiveness is an acid. It can do great damage to the person who's holding that unforgiveness. Don't hold unforgiveness. And remember, to be an unforgiving person is a great act of pride, sadly. Because pride will tell you, I don't want to forgive that person because they've hurt me so badly and they had no right to hurt me. On the other hand, forgiveness says, Lord, because you've told me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. And remember, the person who forgives is, by the grace of God, it's like they're letting themselves out of prison. On the other hand, the person who refuses to forgive, they're keeping themselves in prison. And understand this. Again, remember, the word is clear in James 4. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give each of us to walk in humility every single day. Thank you for the fact that you're God, that you've told us clearly in your word, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Lord, and touch us by your Spirit. Lord, touch us. Help us to repent of the wrongness of walking in pride in many areas of our lives. Lord, we've sinned in many ways as far as walking in pride. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us to walk in your humility more and more every day. Teach us to walk in the humility that would encourage us to fill our lives with prayer. Teach us to walk in the humility that would encourage us to be faithful students of your word every day. Teach us to walk in the humility that would say that, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to do that. Lord, help us to teach us to walk in the humility that would encourage us to pray like Paul prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And Lord, help us to be wise enough and humble enough to pray that prayer every single day. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that life is a gift. And if we're wise and walking in humility as we should, that we'll fill our lives with thanksgiving and praise in view of the fact that you're so good, you're so gracious, you're so merciful, you bless us in so many ways. Help us, Lord, daily to walk in the humility of your Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We've been looking at the topic of the Christian walk, a journey in humility. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.